is desperately trying to squeeze us, squeeze Christians, Christians young and old, into its mold, a mold of thinking and a mold of doing things. But we must be a light. We must continue to be light of the world and salt of the earth. We continue our study in our studies in the book of 1 Corinthians. The church at Corinth had too many problems with worldliness. The church had divided loyalty to different leaders. Paul rejects this disunity, telling them that members of the church must focus on Christ, and that individual leaders in the church should point members to Christ. There was also gross immorality in the Corinthians church, and such immorality was being tolerated by the church. And Paul tells the church to exercise Christian discipline. Also, believers were taking fellow believers to court. And Paul tells them that they should handle their disagreements among themselves. Additionally, there was some confusion about whether it was better for a man to be married or single, and how married people should relate to each other. Paul clarifies these issues for the church and for us today. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 7, and we're going to read verses 1 through 16. Let us stand up for the reading of God's holy word. And this is the powerful word of God. And now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to the husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for the time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But this I say by way of concession, not of command. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good for them if they remain as even as I am. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. But to the married I give instructions, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband. But if she does leave, she must remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband does not divorce his wife. But to the rest I say, not the law, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband, if he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through a believing husband. For otherwise, your children are unclean, but now they are holy. Yet, if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? You may be seated. Oh God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for its power to convey. Thank you for its power to transform. Thank you, Father. Please speak to our hearts today. We pray, O God, that the plan and purpose for your word today will be fulfilled and you will be glorified. Speak through me, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Maintain purity in marriage. Paul is responding to a particular question asked by the Corinthian church in a letter written to him. The question was, is it good for a man not to touch a woman? The question is in reference to sexual immorality in the church. In the culture first, in the Corinthian culture, but it has made its way into the church. Sexual immorality has made its way into the church. So the people were reasoning that if sexual immorality was such a danger to spiritual purity, then they could be purer by abstaining from sex altogether, abstaining from any sexual intimacy, even in marriage. But Paul is saying that because of sexual immorality, it is even the reason that each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband, stressing sexual purity in marriage. I say, the reason is that they were so convicted that sexual immorality had crept into the church, and they said, no, it would be better that a man doesn't touch a woman. But Paul is saying, no, marriage, not celibacy, is the way to maintain sexual purity. Marriage is the way, not abstinence. Paul does not altogether rule a celibacy of abstinence, but his overwhelming response is that each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. Marriage is ordained by God. It is a good thing. The Lord said it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper for him. So it's ordained by God. And it should be entered into in a holy, God-fearing manner. And its purity must be maintained. So marriage vows should be, keep your marriage vows. Each man have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. And this implies purity, keeping our marriage vows, avoiding sexual immorality. The point is laying down principles. These people were confused. And these principles are God-given principles in his holy word that we should abide by. Point two, be committed to mutual sexual responsibility in marriage. And it's verses 3-6. The Corinthians were advocating that men should not touch a woman, even within marriage. But Paul tells them that within marriage, husband and wife have mutual responsibility, intimate mutual responsibility. Paul tells them that within marriage, husband and wife are responsible to each other. The husband's obligation to wife, he must fulfill his duty, rendering the wife the affection due her. Every wife has affection due her by the husband. That's the intention for marriage, God-given intention. One commentator wrote, Paul doesn't think only the young or the pretty or submissive wives are due affection. Every wife is due affection because she is a wife of a Christian man. He goes on to say that Paul also emphasizes that a woman needs not merely sexual relation, but the affection due her. There should be total affection. And that's why in the Song of Song, he writes, you are altogether beautiful, my darling wife. There's no flaw in you. How many of us really can say that to our wives? How many of us are giving married Christian men, giving due affection? I know things are rough, children come in, work, and all the other problems, but this should not be a reason why the wife doesn't get her due affection. Christian men, determine, set aside, there is a responsibility. Look at your wife and say, you are altogether beautiful and no flaw in you. There is no flaw in you. This is the word of God. Man, a friend is wife. So are we guilty, men? Am I not taking time? You can't give any excuse to God for not making time, room for affection for a dear wife. So Paul is laying it, not abstinence, but marriage. But in marriage, the mutual responsibility of affection must be applied, must be met. Wife's obligation to her husband. The wife also has due obligation to her husband. She also owes him total affection beyond sexual relationship. Mutual sexual relationship is required in marriage. Paul says that the husband and the wife must fulfill this obligation. He said they don't have authority over their own bodies. They don't have authority over each other body. The wife doesn't have authority over her body, the husband doesn't have. Paul is pointing out that we have a binding obligation to serve our partner in physical affection. One man, one woman, meeting the sexual needs of each and the other. I know the Corinthian congregation might have been quiet, listening to reading Paul's response to their confusion about marriage. And the reason Paul is saying that, he said, watch out for the enemy.
Yes, yes.
Watch out for the enemy. In verse 5 of our text, he said, stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and then come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. The only reason is to pray and to fast. All in that, come together. As a Christian counselor, and even, look, there are a lot of trouble in marriages because confusion, misunderstanding, selfishness. So this is a message that not only for the Corinthians, but for all Christian churches. We want to see good families, good couples, and loving, affectionate, married people. And he said, watch out, the devil is coming. If you keep your affection from one another, the devil is going to come in. If there is no self-control, he's going to ruin your marriage. You're going to ruin your marriage. Strong marriages make strong churches. Every day we should demonstrate, portray Christ and his church. Because we are the signboard. This is how Christ loves his church. Affectionate husbands and love wives, mutually meeting their responsibility. Not only intimately, but across the board. And when the world sees this kind of tightly close relationship, and we say that how Christ loves his church, we give them something to think about.
Amen.
And thirdly, singleness and marriage. Each has its own benefit. Because they were asking, should we abstain? And Paul said, no. Marriage is the key, is the answer. But God has called some people to be single. And he even pointed to himself. At the time of the writing, it is said that Paul was a single man. Paul, at the time of this writing, was unmarried. And so he was in the category of the unmarried and widows. Although some commentators believe that historical records show that he was once a married man before he came to the law. Because he was almost at the verge of becoming a Sanhedrin, and it is never, never the case that a Sanhedrin man is not married. So they believe that he was some, but at this point in time, he's an unmarried man. He recognizes the benefits of singleness and also of marriage. Some people are gifted for marriage, and some people are gifted for the unmarried state. Each has its benefit. Paul said, here I am. I can serve God freely. I mean. But singleness with self-control is a gift. But if they cannot exercise self-control, Paul said, get married. Get married. Marriage is a gift from God. Marriage must be lived faithfully. Faithfully meeting the mutual responsibility. Get married when self-control is lacking in singleness. He says it to the widows and to the unmarried, or single people, that it is a good thing to remain as they are, or even as he is. But he continued in verse 9, but if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Marriage is the right place of refuge from pressure of sexual immorality. And that is what one commentator wrote. One should not feel that they are immature or unspiritual because they desire to get married. So that they will no longer burn with passion. So don't feel embarrassed. If you know this is difficult, get married. Meanwhile, if a person has a problem with lust or sexual sin, they should not think that by getting married itself solves their problem. Many Christians, especially men, have grieved to find out that their lust for women did not magically go away when they got married. And I say, seek counseling. Talk to your pastors, talk to a good Christian counselor. If there's, before you get married, as a matter of fact, have counseling to avoid future marital problems. If loss is imminent, if love is evident, don't be ashamed, because you're going to ruin your marriage, you're going to ruin the relationship if your wife is not satisfying you. And you will bring disgrace to the name of Jesus. And lastly, we see divorce and separation in marriage. These are all principles, guidelines Paul is laying down for the church in Corinth and for us today. And for that, let us read verses 10 to 16. We see of chapter 7. He said, but to the married, I gave instruction, not I, but the law, that the wife should not leave her husband. But if she does leave, she must remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband should not divorce his wife. But to the rest, I say, not the law, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And that is the same applies to the wife. When a married Christian couple is involved, and two Christians married, the Corinthians Christians were thinking that it might be more spiritual to be single. And if so, they should break up their marriages for greater holiness. Can you imagine? Paul want to be holy. The immorality thing is getting rampant. So we just want to avoid everything and remain single. Break up my marriage. Paul responded, he responded, absolutely not. If one party departs from their spouse, they should remain unmarried or be reconciled. However, there is a biblical ground for divorce, and that is found in Matthew 19, verses 3 to 9. And the ground is immorality or adultery is the biblical ground for divorce. No other. No other. No other. It's binding. When a married Christian and an unbelieving spouse is involved, Paul deals with the question of divorce and remarriage when a Christian is married to an unbelieving spouse. Paul implied that Jesus did not teach on this subject as he did in Luke 19, 3-9, Matthew. But Paul implies that Jesus did not teach on this subject as he did in the previous situation. But Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, points out the following. Believing spouse should not divorce their unbelieving spouse, because God can be glorified in such a marriage. He says that God can be glorified in such a marriage through sanctification. The married spouse, the Christian spouse, through his action, through his life, through the Holy Spirit working, can have an impact on the unbelieving spouse. The Holy Spirit, by virtue of their being close to someone who is a Christian, there is a possibility that the person will see what the Holy Spirit is doing in the Christian spouse life and surrender to Jesus Christ. It also does have an impact on the children. It can be said that now they are holy, according to the reading that we read. Until the child is able enough to take responsibility upon himself, the child of a believing parent is to be regarded as a Christian. Until he is able, he reaches the age of responsibility, accountability. The parent's holiness extends to the child. On the other hand, if the unbeliever departs, Paul said, let him depart, or let her depart. Paul clarified that if the unbelieving spouse decides to leave the marriage, despite the Christian spouse's effort to encourage them to stay, let them leave. The Christian is not under bondage to keep the marriage. So I was wondering, how did this happen? Well, both unbelievers before they got married and one became a Christian? Because we find out later that we are now to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. But there may be a possibility where there were two unbelievers, one got married. One got saved and the other still not saved. And then there will be conflict. Obviously there will be conflict. That's why the law said, do not be unequally yoked. But if this happens, so the Holy Spirit will work in the believer's life. Because Peter also said by the manner they live, one can be saved. So this is a warning. Don't say, I will marry them and I will try, even though they're not believers, I will marry them and I will try to win them over. No. This is not what Paul is saying. You are not to be unequally yoked. Knowing that the person is not a believer, you're not supposed to marry them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So God has laid down principles to govern our marriages. And for those who are single, and those who are facing confession of divorce, Paul, through the written word of God, has clarified these. Let us be governed by these biblical principles. Let us be governed by them. There's a lot of confusion in marriages, in homes. Single people questioning whether they are called to be to singlehood or singleness, this is it. You can talk to the pastors. Counseling is available, but there should be no confusion. Immorality is rampant out there. The Church of Christ should remain pure. The Church of Christ should remain light. But the greatest question today, is where are you and I stand? Are you born again? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? That's it in the first place. Have you given your life to Christ? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone. And the new has come. And for those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ, are we growing in him? He does say, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we thinking like Christ? Are we growing in Christ-likeness? Because all the confusion will come when we are stagnant in our growth. You don't read your Bible, you don't pray, just come to church, go home, not in any growth group, Bible study group. Yeah, the devil will confuse you. The devil will smack you on the jaw. Because you are not strong. Self-control may be lacking. And then problems will come. Let us grow in Christ. Thank God for Crossroads Community Church. From babies, we have programs for children, as you saw, the young people going for a retreat. We have Christian Council of Christian people. And then for us, we have classes for Sunday school. All these things help us to grow to become like Christ. Because Christ didn't just save us to remain stagnant. You want us to grow. Stop drinking milk. You need to eat solid spiritual food for all of us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the principles laid down in your holy word for your church so that we don't be confused by the secular society, secular things that are going on out there, so that we will remain pure in our understanding of what it means to have a Christian marriage. And all the other things, Father, contain in these principles. Thank you, Lord, for clarifying. We give you glory and praise. May we live to be salt of the earth and light of the world for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.